This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
December 7th, 2013. Before I begin our special program today with a special guest, I'd just like to read, as I always do, from the scriptures before we begin. And, you know, I just finished chapter 10 now, or 11, I'm going on, of Revelation. We're getting close to the end, folks, in more ways than one, but in chapter 9 of Revelation, most important chapter, the sequence of events. I hearkened my eyes onto this verse, and in those days, verse 6. And in those days shall men seek death, and death shall not find it. And they will escape death. They shall desire to die, and the death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, because they are men. The locusts are coming, folks, and the locust army worldwide. It will be a give and take. You give, they take. All that is, economically, politically, but that will happen on a global scale in order to prepare for the man of sin, who is going to be the fake Jesus coming. So just bear that in mind. Most important book, most important chapter, chapter 9 of Revelation, and we're in that time now leading up to the locust, the take-it-all locust army, you know? We're now seeing the deception grow as never before. And about 78 years ago, in this past century, the 20th century, there was an event on this date which propelled America into the war that would never be, the Second World War, as promised in World War I. I think we have a little clip right now before our guest comes on. Here it comes. Here's the man.
Play it, Sam. Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
My grandfather was Admiral Husband Kimmel, Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. and Pacific Fleet at Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941. We all know what happened on that day of infamy, and here we are 75 years later trying to correct the historical record as to what actually happened and why it happened. Right after the attack on Pearl Harbor, there was a hastily called investigation crew that was sent out there. They came back and accused Admiral Kimmel and his Army general counterpart, Walter Short, of being derelict in their duty. And it was simply an allegation that was proven later to be without any foundation whatsoever. However, it stuck on their necks for all these years. And the biggest issue that we have is that after the war was over, the United States Congress honored all of their most senior Army and Naval officers by promoting them to their highest wartime rank. It was a way of saying thank you for your service. There were hundreds and hundreds of names sent over and approved, and only two names were never sent over, Kimmel and Short. What is so disheartening is that all these years later, those people who were my grandfather's commanding officers did not try to correct this injustice. They opted rather to let the scapegoating continue. There's no reason, there's no basis for this. The historical record is clear. The Defense Department on its own stationery has acknowledged that Kimmel and Short were denied intelligence that they should have had, that they never should have been held solely responsible, and responsibility should be broadly shared. We agree with that. Treat us the way you have everybody else up and down the chain of command.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know that Thomas K. Kimmel, grandson of the late Admiral Husband E. Kimmel, had been a guest on these shows for over 15 years when I first met him, about 16 years ago in Washington, D.C., at the Barnes Review American Free Press Convention. And as you know, he passed some time ago this year, and he, of course, had a cousin. And that cousin is Manning Kimmel, who also is carrying the torch of freedom and liberty to continue in this crusade, which, as you just heard right now, is a never-ending battle to obviously honor his grandfather and General Short and all of those also who have been totally forgotten in most of the pages of authentic history. Right now, we do have the man, and I've never talked to him on air before, but it's a first time. It's a pleasure. Manning Kimmel. Hello, Manning.
Rick, good afternoon from South Carolina.
Thank you, sir. Now, was that you on that recording in 2016?
Yes, it was kind of funny to hear myself play back after all these years.
I thought you might have that reaction, but it was an excellent introduction.
Your
cousin Tom on many years, great scholar in the Pearl Harbor story, the story within the story, and we have him on file, our archives going way back, and here you are now. I know you're pushing more perhaps of a political acknowledgement, political fight, rather than the historical one that Tom did. Is that essentially correct?
Yeah, Tommy and I have worked together on this ever since our fathers passed away. My dad died 15 years ago, and he was a very practical person. And I remember him telling me long before he passed away that, you know, maybe it's going to take another generation of Kimmels to get this thing through. Maybe the time in our country's history is just not right. Well, I told Dad then that I promised him that I would stay with this and do everything I could to get it on the president's desk. Because, yes, I believe it is no longer a question of scholarly evidentiary hearings or evidence to be found. That's already been very clearly documented. My cousin Tom was very much into the scholarly approach and did great work. I mean, if you go to his website, which I don't have in front of me right now, it is filled with treasures of information about the facts surrounding Pearl Harbor. We just did things differently. But I'm in the broadcasting business. I happen to coexist with a lot of people in elected office at all levels. And right now, being from South Carolina, I've got people like Mick Mulvaney, who is the of course, Chief of Staff for President Trump, Lindsey Graham. Probably interviewed Lindsey Graham 50 times in the last 30 years. So these are gentlemen who have helped me out. They understand the issue. But quite frankly, the bureaucracy, or you might want to call it the swamp, continues to push back against us in terms of getting this very simple recognition for Admiral Kimmel and General Short. And that simple recognition is simply a posthumous restoration of rank, a piece of paper that retires both Short and Kimmel at their highest wartime rank, just the way every other officer from World War II was treated by the Officer Personnel Act of 1947. So it's a political thing, and I believe that if I could ever get the attention of any president, and we have been equally disappointed by Republicans and Democrats alike, I am sure that the Commander-in-Chief would simply say, what is this all about? Why has it taken so long to get this fixed? But I also am practical and realize that on the world's priority list, this correction of the injustice falls way, 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 way down on the list. And I doubt if any president really knows what's going on here, because that inner circle is very tough to pierce. And we just haven't done it yet. But we're going to keep on trying, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I know, and you're a family of fighters. You know, the thing is that impresses me is that, you know, you say it's, and it's true, that it is an indisputable fact that we know now that the Pearl Harbor incident was, in fact, an inside job. I mean, there's no mistaking about it. There's no, there's no second guessing it. We have all the documents, all of the revelations, the diaries of, people like Henry Stimson, Department of War, all of this where they actually admitted they left Japan no choice but to attack at Pearl Harbor. The Operation Magic device, the decoding device, had already established a couple of days or so before that where the attack would be and essentially when it would be, that 1 p.m. attack. You have George Marshall and people like that saying they couldn't remember where they were on the day before Pearl Harbor. All of this is true, but the narrative in the media obviously does not seem to capitalize on that. You know, it's like the narrative that we've been fed, and kids are still being fed it, Hollywood is still feeding it, all of the media, the corruption is that, oh, they attacked us, those, sneaky Japanese, it was a sneak attack. So, I mean, isn't that really what you're fighting against, that atmosphere of corruption, of falsification of history, of playing up on stereotypes in trying to get this through Congress and through and to the White House and to the president's desk? I mean, there's more to it than just a matter of simple justice. As you said, it's political. But, I mean, how do you account for all of that?
Well, I think my analysis is a little bit different in that this is a story that doesn't command anybody's attention. The national media hasn't paid any attention to this story since the 75th anniversary, and that's been 3 years ago. If you'll remember back in 2016, for the 75th anniversary, a very powerful book came out called A Matter of Honor, written by two Pulitzer Prize finalist authors, Anthony Summers and Robin Swan. They approached the family a couple of years before the 75th, said they wanted to do this book, and we said, have at it. Whatever you want to do, you can have access to our archives, do your own research, or whatever conclusion you reach is yours. Well, that book was the very first time that the true story of Admiral Kimmel was ever chronicled, and it was a very well-written book. It's an easy read, and from that book, the History Channel did a documentary which came out at the same time, and it very clearly shows that Kimmel and Short were just scapegoated by the bureaucracy. And when you take a look at what the official record is, the official record goes back to the Dorn Report. Undersecretary of Defense Edwin Dorn was told to take one last look at this Pearl Harbor thing, and that followed a rather glorious hearing that Senator Strom Thurmond from South Carolina put together in 1995. And after that hearing in March of 95, Dorn was assigned to do a nine-month investigation, and it was very clear from Senator Thurmond, he said, I want this your findings to be completed by the end of this year. And they were. On December 31st of 1995, we all got a little knock on the door, and there was a Federal Express delivery guy handing us the Dorn report. And in that report were three conclusions by the Defense Department: that Kimmel and Short never should have been held solely responsible. This is the government saying that. That information, critical intelligence that they should have had, was for some reason never given to them. Again, this is the government saying that. And that responsibility should be broadly shared. So three things in that report, it was about 80 pages long, were germane to us. But guess what? They never did anything with it. And from that report came the Senate resolution, which was attached to the Defense Authorization Bill that came into being, I've forgotten the year, 2001, I believe. And that resolution has been buried in the Defense Department after passing through Congress. Congress said, Mr. President, correct this injustice. The resolution, which was non-binding, was sent to the Defense Department, and there it has been sitting for 17 years. And all of our efforts to get it out of that catacomb have just not been successful yet. So what I'm trying to do is to find the right person, and maybe they're out there listening on your show, that can pick up the phone and call the president and say, Mr. President, there's something you need to know about. And since you seem to be the right kind of guy to shake up the system and do what you think is right, how about taking a look at this? It's pretty simple. I've got it now boiled down to a one page of bullet points. One page of bullet points summarizes this whole story, and it's very simple for anybody to understand. We clearly, without any equivocation, have all the facts on our side, and the government has admitted it has done wrong. But that Defense Department, and particularly the Navy Department, refuses to do anything about it. And I think that's criminal.
Well, I as I said, yeah, that's obvious. And, you know, I look at it from a practical political point of view as well. But I'm just thinking we have this delegation where I'm from in Rhode Island, and certainly all of them would jump on a political opportunity, bandwagon, as all politicians would, if they could find mileage in it. And if they could get mileage out of it that would not be used against them in any sort of way that they were, you know, apologizing for anything, you know, as far as opposition to the revered Roosevelt myth and so forth, then they would. But if it's something they fear would backfire on them, and especially with the so-called progressive left now, you know, revering the image, the fake image of Roosevelt and his administration and all the Soviet apparatus that was running it, then no, you know, I mean, it's obvious that they can't, if they cannot get total mileage out of it, they won't do it. What about your delegation now, the entire congressional delegation in South Carolina? What's the status with them currently, Manny?
Just 1 second here. First of all, what does this say about the political system when we don't have people who will stand up and do what is right, not what is going to benefit me? What does this say about a system where somebody won't stand up and say, damn it, this needs to be done? This is what the American system is all about, fairness and justice. You know, all this business about I can't get any political mileage out of it, well, yeah, if that's the system we're running, it's no wonder we have the problems we have today. Now, as far as our delegation... I mean, they have worked. Strom Thurmond was absolutely a pit bull on this. John Spratt, who's no longer a congressman, is a pit bull on it. Ralph Norman, who is his.
All right, let's hang on a moment there. We have a quick break, Manning, and we'll come right back to that list of your delegation in your home state, and we'll continue with Manning Kimmel and the Pearl Harbor story today with Rick Adams, Uncensored.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The New World Order thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Yes, we are back, and we're with the cousin of Thomas K. Kimmel, and we're talking with him, Manning Kimmel, on the latest developments politically on the posthumous honoring of these two men who were held solely blamable for the attack at Pearl Harbor, Husband Kimmel and Walter E. Short. Now, continuing, Manning, with that list of congressional supporters in South Carolina, go right ahead.
Well, we've had strong support for many years from Senator Lindsey Graham, and I think most people in your audience know that Senator Graham and President Trump seem to get along pretty well together most times.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman Ralph Norman, who succeeded Congressman John Spratt, has been very helpful in our efforts. But again, you know, getting one of these two gentlemen primarily to find the right moment at the right time in our nation's history to say, this is here, please pay attention to it, just hasn't happened. But, you know, here we are on the 78th anniversary of Pearl Harbor, and just this morning I was texting back and forth to Congressman Norman saying, you know, I hope you get an opportunity to take that one-pager of bullet points on this whole issue and slide it into the president's hands and you know, he's hopeful sometime this weekend that he might be able to see him. So we just don't know what process that will take. I can tell you that Mick Mulvaney, who is the chief of staff, certainly has been engaged in this as well. He has been working through the various channels of the White House, legal department, or whatever it is, to see what's what. As I have tried to explain, the process is pretty simple. All the president has to do is to make the nomination. He just writes a one-sentence letter. Dear President of the Senate, I recommend for posthumous restoration of rank Admiral Husband Kimmel and General Walter Short, period. Then it goes over to the Senate, and there's a confirmation. It's a yay or a nay. Now, I have on my office wall the actual roll call vote of the United States Senate almost 20 years ago where they approved of this resolution. So we know that it can happen. And, of course, if it gets that far, that's when Senator Graham will have to work his magic along with Senator Tim Scott and, you know, pull together a coalition to do this. Now, there is absolutely no money involved with this. We're not asking for any back pay or any, you know, years and years of benefit. That's not the case. That's not it at all. This is simply, as the book title says, a matter of honor. Simply retire them at their full four-star ranks for Admiral Kimmel and General Short his three stars. Now, I do want to correct one thing. Kimmel and Short were never charged with anything. Never. Right. There's just this stigma of them being, quote, derelict in their duty, and that was a phrase that the Roberts Commission hung on them about a month after the attack on Pearl Harbor, when the Associate Supreme Court Justice Owen Roberts took a group of people out there to see what was what, and all they saw was carnage and bloodshed and ships all blown to bits and pieces, and they publicly said these two officers must be derelict in their duty. And the media and other scholars, until the facts came out, just hung that noose right around my grandfather's neck. Now, there was never any charge because they knew that there were no facts to support that charge. Mm-hmm. What they did is they forced my grandfather into retirement, and he immediately reverted from four stars to two stars. But after the war, when Congress advanced all the flag and general officer ranks to the highest wartime order, hundreds and hundreds were sent over and approved. Only two were not, Kimmel and Short. And so the scapegoating continued. That's what we're trying to fix.
And Frank Knox, as Tom has told us many times, Secretary at the time, I believe, of the Navy, actually was a friend of the facts, and he went and approached your grandfather, I believe, and said, did you know that you were never made aware of the Operation Magic? And I believe he said, no, what are you talking about? He had no idea. Even the Soviet Union, they had it. They had this decoding machine. I believe J. Edgar Hoover did not. The FBI did not. But it was in the War Department, and that was their plan. That was to have Japan attack America. And so when Knox approached your grandfather, he became a, as Tom used to say, a fighting tiger. And at that point, he was able to procure legal support from the Boston, I believe it was the law firm of Hanafy, was that
Ropes,
right?
Ropes and Gray.
Yep.
And the young attorney. Lawyer at that time was a man by the name of Ed Hanafy. And Ed Hanafy, God rest his soul, worked with my family until the day he died. It must have gone over a period of 50 years. And his law firm never charged the Kimmel family a penny. Never a penny for all their efforts on our behalf.
Exactly. We'll come right back to that once again, Manning. We have a half-hour break. We'll come back in about 2 or 3 minutes. Stay with us, folks. We're talking with Manning Himmel. Today's the date, 78 years ago, the attack on Pearl Harbor. And this is the rest of the story. Rick Adams, Uncensored. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, with Manning Kimmel. As you see, and Manning has said, the beat goes on. 78 years of infamy, the real infamy of that era, is the way American servicemen and American commanders at a key base have been treated by their own government. I mean, this puts to rest, I believe, the rhetoric, the Vaseline that's been spread about on all of these issues about how they love the servicemen, how they honor our veterans and everything. Well, if they honored our veterans, don't you think they would clear this matter up once and for all? A simple matter of justice, a matter of honor? And no, they won't. There's a handful who do, and more than a handful, as you said. Manning, you know, about 19, 20 years ago, you had that pass in one of the houses, or both houses of Congress. It never was recognized, never signed by that administration at that particular time. So, you know, it's all, again, falsetto. Everything we hear today is rhetoric, it's political sophistry, it's beat, you know, the military-industrial media complex and so on and so forth, but it's not a matter of honor. If it were, this would have been cleared up shortly after, the case was proven to be a case by the Hanafi law firm and his efforts. I think it would have been a matter at that time. Clearly, it wasn't too long after Pearl Harbor and the war that the congressmen sitting and senators could have taken up the case and could have gotten it through the Congress and right up to the White House. But that didn't happen, did it?
No, it did not happen. As again, 2000, the year 2000 was going to be a pretty good year for us to, get this thing through. It was funny because the America seemed to be almost in a land of wealth and plenty. It had nothing going on in this world besides the upcoming anniversary, the 60th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. And that's when, of course, the film Pearl Harbor came out with Ben Affleck. And we were asked, my father was actually offered his services to the Disney company in the production of that movie because he was worried the storyline would be incorrect. Well, they did not want that and politely said no. But when the movie came out, it was factually perfect. When you cut through the love story, it was exactly factually right on target. And so we had this Senate resolution, which was working its way through Congress at the end of 2000. George Bush was finishing up his presidency. We thought everything was going to be happening just great. And wouldn't you know, actually it was 2001, pardon me, I'm a year off. And then, of course, we know what happened, 9/11. We had the attack on the World Trade Towers, and all the momentum we had going for us at that time instantly disappeared. And so for 18 years, we've been trying to get that train back on the tracks, and we just have not been successful. We did advance the cause quite a bit with the book that I referenced earlier, A Matter of Honor by Summers and Swan. And then, of course, the History Channel documentary that came out at the same time. But that was all tied to the 75th anniversary. And now we're sitting here 2 years away from the 80th anniversary. We have resolutions of support from countless, and I do mean countless, war organizations, veterans groups, graduates of Annapolis. We have a document that has well over 40 signatures from all the great names of World War II, the admirals and the generals that fought in that war saying, correct this injustice. So everybody that was military, has a military background, has been supportive of this effort. The only people who have not have been the defense establishment, the ones, the bureaucrats in Washington who just don't want to correct this injustice. Now, one thing that is clear, and I want to make sure that your audience understands this. The Kimmels have never, ever gone after the Roosevelt conspiracy theory. We have not done that. And the book, A Matter of Honor, written by Summers and Swan, says absolutely nothing. There was no evidence at all showing that there was some kind of a cover-up that Roosevelt knew about this in advance. There is no evidence of that, and that has never, ever been our approach. Our approach has been, and this has been verified factually over and over again, is bureaucratic bungling. The left hand couldn't reach out to the right hand and tell them what was going on. The infighting between the Army and the Navy departments right there in Washington that kept this information from the Pearl Harbor commanders. That has been documented, and that's the basis for this correction of the record. It has nothing to do with Roosevelt, nothing.
Well, it's a good approach to try to take, but in reality, all of the facts do speak, as Tom brought out many times, that the government itself was in the know and the War Department was, and obviously Roosevelt was hot to trot to try to get us in the war by the back door. Back Door to War is another great book. It's just a matter of there's so much embarrassment about it. This whole war routine legendary concept that we've got to get a whole new generation of kids psyched up for the Third World War and the Fourth and so on and so forth. That really, that whole militaristic idea of getting kiddies and getting, you know, the grandpapas and grandmamas to worship at the feet of militarism rather than strictly defense, you know, is a whole issue in and of itself, as you can see, Manning. And I think that clearly these politicians today are marching, pardon the pun, but they're marching to the beat of the drummer. And if there's, as I said before, if there's any capital in it for them, like Jack Reed, for instance, our senator here in Rhode Island, the Senate Armed Services Committee, expressed some interest in this, but never commits to signing on to this exoneration and this posthumous promotion. They're not going to jump along with it, you know? And this has been, as you said, this has been almost a century now of a battle to clear something up that should never have been the case. It's more than an embarrassment, you know, in my view. It's actually an act of treachery. You know, we hear so much about treason and treachery today and so forth and so on. What could have been worse than what happened leading up to Pearl Harbor? You know, that 14-page message, a 14-point message that was sent to the administration was never released, never talked about Japan trying to prevent an attack by the United States or on the United States because they were fighting their own, you know, imperial battle with China. So, you know, you had all these factors there. And, you know, I mean, it's obvious that as somebody who's dispassionate, such as myself and others, could come to that obvious conclusion. But, you know, the political considerations here, it's just, what more can we say except that this has been going on year after year after year, and now the media just scantily mention it. They scantily mention Pearl Harbor in the local paper here. It was just one item, and they took a local angle and how one of the veterans who was there at Pearl Harbor wanted to tell the kiddies about what it was like. Well, that's all well and good, except it does not deal with the realities, does not deal with the facts, and most of all, it does not deal with Kimmel and Short. So that, I mean, that's, to me, that's a commentary in itself, you see?
I hear what you're saying. I understand, as I mentioned earlier, this is a non-issue in the world in which we live today. It disturbs me that as a nation we have lost the concept of what honor is all about. Many in the military certainly understand it. That's the reason that they're in the military, to protect the country and its honor. But when you get outside the active military, and there's the difference between the active military and those who are in the bureaucratic military, it's a concept that is lost. But it's not lost on me, and I understand what needs to be done, and we will continue to do this. As I told my father before he passed away, I said, Dad, I will stay with this until it gets to the president's desk. I cannot make the decision for the president, but I can sure do everything in my power to get it onto his desk. Now, whether I'm going to be successful or not, I don't know, but I keep trying, and anytime I get an angle that is new in which I might be able to get my message further up the ladder, I'm going to take it. It may be this radio show for all I know. There may be somebody out there, as I mentioned before, who has that contact that I'm not able to make that can see this thing jumpstart and get it finished.
Well, you need a lobby. You need a lobby with lots of money, lots of influence.
What I need. I don't need a lobbyist. I don't need a paid lobbyist. What I need is somebody who, quite frankly, pardon my French, gives a damn about the concept of honor and says, I don't care what the political ramifications of this are. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to walk this thing into the president and say, Mr. President, you need to be aware of this. This is not right for the nation's history. It is a disgrace that the nation has allowed this stain on the honor of two fine officers to remain all these years. That's what I need. I need somebody with some guts.
Wow. That's all?
Yeah.
You know,
whatever happened to that concept?
I don't know. I think it's something that's almost an alien concept today.
in a society that is based upon, you know, me now, me it, me forever. It's all about me. This whole generation now is one that has been dumbed down to the point of, you know, we kids and we young people are interested in a job, and we're interested in work, and we're interested in our own day-to-day lives. Social media, to some large extent, as you know, has facilitated that concept. But let me ask you this. I didn't give a good introduction in the sense of going back. You know, with Tom, of course, we were conversing for many years, and, you know, his family and his father and the conversations he had and his career with the FBI and graduation from the Naval Academy, FBI, all of that. Let me ask you about your childhood. Now, what was it like vis-a-vis your grandfather and growing up, and how did you become so fascinated with it?
That's a good question. You know, my father, Admiral Kimmel, had three children, and they were all boys. The oldest was Manning. He was a lieutenant commander of in the Navy during World War II. He was the commander of the USS Robalo, which was sunk during the war, and Manning died in the war. The next boy was Tom, which was young Tom's father that he referenced in her conversations. And then the baby was Ned, and that was my father. And my father gave me his oldest brother's name, Manning, after he passed away. So that's where I got the name Manning. Now, my father was an attorney by trade. He did serve in the Navy. He also was a lieutenant commander, but after the war, he graduated. He finished up his time at Princeton University and then graduated from Harvard Law School and went to work for the DuPont Company. All the years that I knew my father, he always worked in some capacity on this whole Pearl Harbor issue. Then my dad retired when he was about 62 or 63 years of age. Mm-hmm. And he said, I've got a mission to complete, and I'm going to work on it. And my dad, until the day he died at age 85, just shy of 85, worked probably 40 to 50 hours a week in his office upstairs that we affectionately called the war room. And
yeah,
he kept pushing and shoving and basically got us to a long way from, I mean, most of the way where we are right now. As a young man, my father and I would jump in the car periodically, every 3 or 4 months, and we would drive from Wilmington, Delaware, which is where I grew up to Groton, Connecticut, where my grandfather and grandmother lived. And my grandfather was pretty much like anybody's grandfather. You know, he bounced me on the knee, and we looked at my grandfather lived next to a golf course, and he was on the back side of one of the greens on the golf course. And so golf balls used to fly into his yard all the time. And my grandfather would shoo away the golfers as they tried to retrieve their golf balls. And he collected trash cans full of golf balls that he just kept in his garage all the time. I got the biggest kick out of that. But my father, as soon as my father arrived up there in Groton, and after we did the normal grandfather-grandkid thing, he and my dad would go back to my grandfather's office, and they would sit there and talk Pearl Harbor. And it's interesting that after my grandfather passed away, and that I think I was age 20 when my grandfather died, so I knew him, and I knew him very well. I found myself doing the same thing with my father, you know, talking Pearl Harbor, and then one day the DNA kicked in, and I realized that I needed to be part of this and helped out in any way I could. And I think I offered my greatest assistance when I got down to South Carolina back in 1985, because that's when we had Strom Thurmond in the United States Senate. He was the most powerful man in the Senate, and he helped us in many, many, many ways to advance the cause. In fact, as I told you earlier, because of Senator Thurmond and his counterpart, Floyd Spence, who was the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. He was from Columbia, South Carolina. Because of those two men, The hearing was held back in 1995, where the Defense Department was forced to sit down with the Kimmel family, which heretofore they would not ever talk to us one-on-one. It was always paper shuffling. And the senator asked us one day, what else can we do about this? And we said, we need to confront our enemy eyeball to eyeball. And that's when he called Spence and made that hearing happen. And in March of 95, we sat down there, and we went at it for about 2 hours. And from that, the Dorn report was issued 9 months later, and we've already talked about that. So I have very fond memories of my grandfather. I'm sitting here looking at his portrait, which is hanging on my wall. This is passed down to me by my father. It's a glorious part of what we have here inside of my house in South Carolina, and I'll pass it on to my kids when this is all over with. But I just want to see this thing get done because my children, and I have two boys, they are so far removed from all of this, I don't know whether they can continue it.
Isn't that the case? Huh? That's sad. We'll come back on a final segment. Stay with me, Manning, and we'll continue then. Folks, Rick Adams, Uncensored.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with
Get back at 'em with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
And we're back now in the final few minutes of this hour that our guest has graciously consented to give us. Manning Kimmel. Manning, let me also ask this. I asked Tom years ago this question, and I always ask it because I know the stigmas that are attached to certain people whose relatives or fathers or grandfathers have fallen into some sort of, quote, infamous status. Were you ever in a position where you had to take any kind of ribbing or any kind of, insults or challenges because of your family name? When you were, in that age bracket?
Absolutely not. I have never, ever had that encounter, especially down here in South Carolina, which has been it's a very pro-military state. And I have been greeted by nothing but except people who understand that how the system works and how sometimes it could be unfair and what an injustice this is. I don't think that I would have been able to command the support that I've had over the years if people thought differently.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And, you know, it goes to show you that the average Joe on the street is much more honest and forthcoming about things when they hear the story and they meet somebody like yourself and find out the truth, that they understand these things. And they know, you know, governments, politicians, presidents, vice presidents, they know all of this is political. And they know that, you know, in politics, I guess like in war, you know, the first casualty is the truth generally. So I think people obviously are aware of that, you know, and you did not have that encounter. I mean, others with other people, you know, have had, you know, infamy or attempts on them because of the nature of the beast and people being vindictive and so on and so forth. But I'm happy to hear that. And you, as you said, you are a broadcaster yourself. And do you do programming in South Carolina or beyond the state as well? No, you have program stations?
Well, we you know, a lot of our programming is locally produced. I, in fact, do a daily program myself, a public affairs program called Straight Talk, which has been on the air 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year for 35 years. And it's all very local about what's going on in our community, interviews with politicians, community leaders about different things. And so, and quite frankly, that's allowed me to get the kind of access that we talked about earlier, where I get to know these people simply because they've been on my program and they got it. They understand it. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's a big distance, though, from local, you know, regional areas and Washington. It's like Washington is like 8 million miles away when you're dealing with that reality, you know. So that's the core of the, you know, the crux of the matter today. In fact, it's a sad thing that Thomas did not live to see this resolve. But you know what? Yeah. When he returns from heaven, I'm sure he's going to have a big smile on his face that it's all going to come out and everything will be done. Grandfather and all, we look forward to them coming back with that angelic army when Christ returns. And I just want to tell you that it's been a pleasure having you on the program. People want to email you or get in touch with you, they can, I'm sure, right?
Yes. mkimmel@wrhi.com.
All right. Thank you very much, Manny. It was a great hour. I appreciate you taking the time.
Sure, anytime. Thank you, Rick.
Amen. We'll do it again. All right. Thank you, folks. Hour number two is coming up, and we will come back. Art in Philly is going to be waiting in the wings, and I want to get into another area that you will find to be quite shocking. Stay tuned. Rick Adams Uncensored.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can.